Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text is our gospel lesson. There are always great things about the parables that Jesus tells. He tries to teach through stories. And one of the great things about this parable is that Jesus actually preaches about what he was teaching. And so there's a sermon in our gospel lesson, and then in true pastoral form, I'm going to make it last longer and preach it again. Parable of the sower. It's not necessarily to teach us how we should farm. There's a big difference between farming then and farming today. Not that it's necessarily easier for the farmers, but they don't just put on a sack and throw seed. If they're able to, if they have the funds, they buy equipment that assists them in that. Some of it is computerized, which helps them to know where they should plant the seed for the best possible results. That doesn't necessarily make it easier, it just makes it smarter. But in our text, the farmer is taking the seed, and he is simply throwing the seed everywhere. The disciples don't understand what Jesus is talking about, so he explains it. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Open your ears this morning. Allow the Holy Spirit to deliver to you his message. There are four groups in our gospel lesson. Let's take a look. A sower sows the seed, and some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. The birds of the air devoured it. Of this group, Jesus says that they are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. You see, the seed, as Jesus tells us in the gospel lesson, is the word of God. God could work faith however he chooses to, and how he has chosen to is through what we call the means of grace, the word and the sacraments. God's word proclaimed and preached from the pulpit. God's word read every single day in your home. And his word attaches to water and gives the gift of holy baptism, which brings children and adults into his family. His word attaches to simple bread and wine to give you not just bread and wine, but the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins. The word of God is the seed. So about that first group, they've heard, but the devil comes and steals it from them. When you have been given the word of God, the devil comes to twist that word. This is always how the devil has worked. Think back to the Garden of Eden. Already in Genesis chapter 3, Moses gives us the story of how Adam and Eve had been proclaimed that they should not eat the fruit of one specific tree. And what does Satan do to attack that? He goes and he whispers in Eve's ear and says, "Did God really say you can't eat of any of the trees?" That's how the devil works. He twists God's word. That's not what he said. She failed. Fast forward to Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. For 40 days after his baptism, the devil tempts him and again attacks him with the word of God, but in a twisted sense. Jesus, being the very word incarnate, knows those words inside and out and is able to defend himself by proclaiming the true word of God back to Satan. Are you prepared to do the same? Do you internalize God's word? Is it a living part of you? Do you study his word daily? Because if not, when the devil attacks you through your ears, it's very easy to fail. The devil tries to stuff your ears from the word of God. Come here weekly to receive the stuffing out and plant it home every single day. Of the second group, Jesus speaks of those who fall on the rock. As it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Of this group, Jesus says that these are those who have heard the word. They receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. There are a few groups that kind of fall into this category. First of all, there are those who have never heard the word of God, or had received it as a child and had fallen away from the faith. When they receive it again, they can be brought to great joy to receive that word. For a time, they were living in darkness, and they've seen his light. But if that joy is not planted deep enough in roots, and those who take the new member class know that it's not a quick class, it takes time. Because we want to make sure that that root is grounded as far deep as it can go, so they continue learning. The other group here is the fact that we lose so many children after confirmation. Now keep in mind, a 14-year-old cannot drive himself to church. It's parents' responsibility. So they had a time where they had received the word of God, but they have fallen away. We can do better. We can give them a deeper, more firm foundation. That firm foundation doesn't begin with me. Listen to where it begins. In our introit, the psalmist writes that of our God, we have heard with our ears. Now, who did they hear that word from? Our fathers have told us. Dads, it begins with you. You are to teach the faith in your home. Your wife is to assist you in that regard. You have a greater impact on your children than I ever will. We can do this together. Our fathers have told us. The word of God is to be there when we sit down and when we get up. When we go out, it is a part of us. Be in his word. The third group. This is those who fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Of this group, Jesus says that they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Not only do we lose a lot of kids after they're confirmed, but we also lose a lot of people during one of the most tumultuous, one of the hardest parts of life spiritually, and that is the years after graduating from high school, when they go out into the world on their own. If they have been not given the foundation of living in the Word of God, of meditating on His law, His commandments, His grace, and they go out into that world will wrap itself around them and tear them apart. A child's faith out in the world is a scary place. And if they don't have Jesus firm, foundational, they can get choked out, just as Jesus tells us in his words. Now, before we get too depressed and say, okay, great, three of these groups have lost the word of God, what hope do we have? You. The fourth group. Some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Of this group, Jesus says, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Faith is a gift. You have been given that gift by a God who loves you. He is planted in each and every one of your hearts. Let it bear fruit. See, we understand that it's not good works that save us. Your good works aren't what gets you into heaven. But a living faith produces fruit, and the fruit of that faith is good works. How is your neighbor to know who Jesus is without hearing the word of God? And how are they to hear the word of God without you proclaiming it, or without you showing them God at work in your hearts? Your good works show the light of Christ. Let that light so shine in the darkness of this world. This is a broken world, a depressed world, a world that is eating itself up. We must be the light. We must be the salt of the earth. God has called us to do this. We have a wonderful gift, a gift of faith. The Holy Spirit has planted that word in your ears and deep into your heart. God has proclaimed in our Old Testament lesson that just as the rain falls from heaven, it does not simply return empty, but it flows. It waters the crops. It brings forth the fruit. Hear the word of God. Receive it. Let it strengthen your faith. Build up one another. Build up your brothers and sisters. Go to them when they are hurting. Cry with them. And when they are happy, rejoice with them. God plants the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. In our Old Testament lesson, it says, "You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, that the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing." The Lutheran Church is a singing church. Now, I get that not every hymn is easy. I know that that wasn't the easiest hymn to sing right before the sermon, but it's a Luther hymn. We're a Lutheran church. These are hymns that should be a part of us. Plus, it's the hymn of the day every year for this Sunday, so it would be good for us to try to learn it. And listen to it on Facebook. I know some of you did. Prepare yourselves. Sing out. The whole of creation sings out what her God has done. The mountains sing out about what God has done. Rejoice in the Lord. Bring forth fruits. Your life is not going to be easy. God never promised you happiness every day. He didn't say, if you believe in me, you'll have the nicest cars. He didn't promise any of those things. But what he does promise is that he will be with you. Even St. Paul, the one who writes the majority of our New Testament, is afflicted. We see all of his trials and tribulations in our epistle lesson today. And he proclaims that even though he has this thorn, and he pleads to the Lord about it, he says that God responds, "My grace is sufficient for you." You have trials and tribulations. You have sickness, cancers, diseases, mourning and sadness at the loss of loved ones. But your God is with you. His grace is sufficient for you. He holds you in his hand. His power is made perfect in your weaknesses. So go on boasting, but not in ourselves, in the Lord, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. And the church sings, "Thine over all shall be the praise and thanks of every nation, and all the world with joy shall raise the voice of exultation. For thou shalt judge the earth, O Lord, nor suffer sin to flourish. Thy people's pasture is thy word, their souls to feed and nourish, in righteous paths to keep them." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.